once again, the focus this year that I want you and I to be thinking about in our heart is what it means to follow Jesus. Now, as a non-believer, an individual who does not even believe there is a God, or does not believe that God's only begotten Son came to earth for us, for the salvation of the human race, why would he do that? Because you and I are creations of God. We were created by the love of God, for the main purpose is that God wanted to bestow his love on you and me. And he also wanted to give us the ability to bestow our love on him. So therefore, I was created for God to love and for me to love God back. That's the purpose of us to be created. It is the fellowship with God. It is the power that supersedes all understanding. And yet so often in our generation, and I'm going to say in our generation, meaning for the past 2,000 years. You'll know why I say that in a moment. 2,000 years ago, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ refused to call down all the powers from heaven to deliver him from a cross that you and I deserve. 2,000 years ago, God spoke, and God had already had a plan that his Son was coming for you and for me, because we were created for God to love. Do you really believe that an all-powerful God and his love can ever be taken away from the object of his love? And the object, direct object of the love of God is you and me. But you and I mess up. Have you ever noticed that? Since the beginning of time, man has messed up. But one thing I can never mess up in my life is how much God loves me. However bad I am, God still loves me. I cannot do something that is so good that'll make God love me more, because when you receive the love of God, you've received the ultimate love. God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and said to us, whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life in Christ. We miss a great fact in our New Testament churches, as we are called. And the fact is that when Jesus died for us on that cross, that was just the beginning for us to witness such love. What if Jesus had died on that cross? He was taken down. Many died on a cross. Many classified themselves as the Messiah. Many prophets had died on a cross. What if when they took Jesus down and buried him, the resurrection hadn't occurred? The cross would mean nothing. The cross would mean nothing. Because Jesus said, the time is coming, and I am going to conquer death. Well, he already did now, folks, 2,000 years ago. That's what was going on. He was fulfilling all the prophecies of the Old Testament, as we call it. A complete fulfillment. He did not do away with it. He completed it. And then he said, now, church, that's when it began, 2,000 years ago, the church age. folks, count your blessings, naming them one by one. As you attempt to do that, I can tell you right now, you're going to lose count. Because you can't. You cannot think to the depth of God's love and what all He has saved us from and how much He truly loves us as individuals. There is never going to be another person like you on earth. Never. You're one of a kind. And God said, when He created the human race, we were created never to die. Now see, that's the sad part for those who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You know, many will say, well, you're going to die and that is it for the lost. You'll never see eternity. Yeah, they'll see eternity, but they'll never die. The human spirit is life for this physical body, for this physical vehicle while we're here on earth. It's like our personal earth suit, like a space suit for an astronaut. The real us is inside here. Sometimes the real us is buried pretty deep in there, right? And we will spend a lifetime digging through all the garbage in our life and in the makeup of the human existence, and about the time it's ready to step over, we are ready to step over into that separation period from the body, we think, why didn't I study more of God's Word? Why didn't I read more? Why didn't I pray more? Why didn't I trust more? What it means to follow Jesus, it means that we know a lot of things that Jesus has told us. I knew when Jesus called me to preach. Didn't matter who believed me. I knew Jesus called me to preach. My calling was of God. And every individual calling is of God. That's why I will not say, okay, God didn't call you to do this. God didn't call you to do that. I better get out of that real quick. I have no idea what God has called you to do. But I'll tell you this. Whatever you say God has called you to do, you will do. If God's called you to do it, He'll make the way. And all the whining and bickering as you go along in life, oh, they don't like me. Well, get used to it. A lot of people don't like you, and they're in your own family. That's the way life is. And the closer you'll walk with Christ, the less the world will like you. Now, the Christian, though, we need to be putting the bright lights on who Jesus is, not who we are. We need to be focusing on presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ to the heart of a world that doesn't know Him. God says in His Word that we will know who a fool is. A fool is one who says there is no God. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. So why would I stand and argue with people who said there is no God? Would that not be like arguing with a fool? Would the Lord tell us not to be in foolish conversations? And not to get caught up in all of the bickering back and forth of how many angels can sit on the head of a pin. You and I really don't care as Christians. And not only that, I don't remember reading in Scripture that there are a bunch of pins in heaven. But see, that's how foolish we can get. God said, I want you to know something. That my Son's resurrection ushered in my favor. You and I are living in the generation which began some 2,000 years ago. We are living in a time period of the favor of God. We're living in the ultimate love that God has for us. We get to know what happened in the past. We have the Old Testament, all the prophets. And the prophets have told us how time began, what little they knew themselves. that God had revealed. So we know that. And then they believed in the Messiah to come. You and I believe that the Messiah has come. His name is Jesus Christ, and he is the only way to salvation. We believe that as Christians. But we will not exclude anyone. Whosoever will, let them come. But I'll not lie to them either. Well, can I get there this way or that way? No, there's one way. His name is Jesus, and he loves you. And you know he loves me just like I am. He loves you just like you are. So God says, I want you to know you're living in my favor. Generation, do you hear me? God's telling us, I favor you. When the church age began, it's when it began. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1 and 2. As God's fellow workers, now let me tell you something about the Corinthian church. Paul chewed them out in 1 Corinthians. Paul nailed them for all the garbage they was trying to bring into the church. He had a horrible time. He had chewed them out so sternly in 1 Corinthians that they didn't like him. So Paul then says that he's sorry that he had gotten so tough. But then, with the personality of Paul, he said, but you deserved it. And so Paul is saying this, as God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. God said, I'm giving you my grace. Where's the grace? The grace was in my son that went to the cross. The grace was that I love you so much that I'm going to allow my son, my only son, to take the blame for all mankind's sin, including yours. Grace began. The ultimate grace. The ultimate power. Now remember this. In the Old Testament period, you will see where the Spirit of God would come upon a prophet for a specific task. And then that prophet would go about his business after that specific task was taken care of. The prophet would go about teaching the truth of God. And then the Holy Spirit would descend once again into the heart of the prophet. And the prophets prophesied that one day, our Father is going to send His Spirit, and His Spirit will dwell in the heart of man throughout. You know, it's always difficult for me because time does not relate to God. And if God cannot be related in time, you and I cannot either. So we have a term called forever and ever, eternity. What does that mean? I don't know. I do know this. It means that you and I will always be loved by God. We will be. And he said, I've come for you, but don't receive my grace in vain. What's he talking about? Do Christians really do that? Sure. We receive the grace of God in vain when you and I decide we want to go back to legalism. When you want to tell the preacher how he ought to dress to preach. And I hope you don't come up with what God told Isaiah. He ordered Isaiah to preach 3.5 years naked. Yeah, you all need to read that one. And he did. I ain't, because I'm under grace. Mercy. You got it? So God was showing the Israelites, God was showing the Hebrew nation how naked they were in the presence of Him. And we'll never be that way again. Why? We're clothed in the blood of Christ, the blood of the Lamb. We are surrounded by the love of God. We are His children. He is our God. And we have His protection. Second verse, For he says, God says, we got it? In the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you now is the time of God's favor. That's at the beginning of the church age. Now is the day of salvation. The Lord says, I will convict you through my Holy Spirit of the sin that's in your life. Well, Lord, are you judging me of that sin? God said, how can I judge you of a sin that my son took on the cross? I want you to know, I know you, I know who you are, and I want you to know when you said yes to my son, you are forgiven, and you are forgiven throughout eternity. Amen. You're mine. I love you. Well, you love your children, but sometimes you got to correct them, right? Sometimes you have to speak up, and I can tell you now, that too many children are not hearing a word no. They need to hear it, parent, and they need to hear it in love. Well, I want to go over to so-and-so's house because we're going to party tonight. No, you're not. And when I was in the correctional facility for all those years, I learned that the best way of doing that, always put your little cell in the house somewhere with a lock on it. You see, what happens when parenting ceases to parent both is that children don't know the difference between what's right and what's wrong. We are to teach them. I've known people that have raised children, and I mean they took them to church every Sunday, and they did everything that you can read about in Scripture to do, and they said that kid turned bad, and it must have been my parenting. Folks, as parents, you and I need to do this, to raise a child in the way they should go, and to nurture and admonition of the Lord, to love God. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. Kids are going to make a lot of bad choices, but so do parents. And do you know you still love your child? You still love your child. You know if he lives through this, I'm going to kill him. Remember all those statements? That's how we look at our children. Why? Because we love them so much, we're afraid for them in this world. Now, there were two men in Scripture that Jesus wants to tell this story of. Now, remember something. When Jesus is telling a story or a parable, however you want to take this, many people says, yes, that's just an illustration. If Jesus gives you an illustration, it's a true illustration. When Jesus says, this is what went on, mark it down. This is what went on. But all of our brilliant folks say, well, it couldn't be that way. Well, they are the same ones that would say Lazarus could not be raised from the dead. Because surely, Lord, our brother already stinketh because he'd been there 4 days. And that seems to be the heart and the nature of many Christians in our day. Does God smell the stench of the world in the heart of the Christian? Have we backed away from the truth of God's love to the point that we are not recognized any different from the world? Everybody at church does this with me on Saturday. And my statement was, well, why didn't you bring them with you on Sunday then? Why don't you bring your friends to church on Sunday? Oh, now, preacher, you know how that gets. If we were coming, no, you come on. Yeah, you're going to get a good talking to from me. But it's cause of love, care, concern. There was a rich man, and there was a beggar by the name of Lazarus. Many who have studied Scripture for a long time know this factual story. And it is a factual story. Lazarus as that poor beggar. He sat at the feet of the rich man. He would look at the table that the rich man had spread out, and all he ever wanted was just a crumb. And the scripture says, the Lord himself says, and the rich man would not give it to him. Lazarus had gotten to the point that even the dogs felt sorry for him. And they came and licked the sores. But the rich man would not give one crumb off the table. And then Jesus says, both die. And he says, then Lazarus died and was taken by the angels to be in the bosom of Abraham. That was in paradise. To Abraham's bosom. He was with the Father. He was with Jesus before Jesus got here. And then he says, the rich man died and found himself in hell. It was actually Hades. Found himself there. And he looked up and he could see Lazarus sitting in joy in paradise. And here he was in torment. Now, hell is a place that nobody in hell today wants anybody else to come. There is nobody in hell. The souls of those who are waiting in hell for the final judgment, none of which want to see anybody else come down. That's how bad it is. Well, now, preacher, you try to scare people. The facts scare folks. It's not to scare someone. It is to let you know it's real. Jesus preached more about hell than he did heaven. We know that it's real. We know that Satan is real, don't we? Don't we contend with him on a daily basis? Don't so often we'll turn our back on the truth of God to follow the worldly wisdom of Satan? Well, listen to this in Luke 16, 25 through 31. Because the rich man had just asked Abraham to send Lazarus back to earth to warn his brothers. He had five. Send them back that my brothers not come here, for it is real. When you and I can see the vision of the reality of eternity, of the reality of hell, the reality of heaven, when we can see that, and if we do not warn, we are as guilty as any evil spirit that walks on planet earth. But Abraham replied, son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, now listen to this, between us and you, a great gulf has been fixed, the chasm, okay? And besides all this, between us and you, that great gulf, think of it, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from here, from there to us. You got it? It's the great gulf. It's the divide. When you and I go to our place in eternity, our place in eternity will not change. No, you cannot be prayed out of hell. No. Why do we think that the Lord didn't tell us, don't receive God's grace in vain? And we of all generations, we've got the whole Word of God. We are witnesses to His truth about what happens to nations that turn their back on Him. We see it. We're witnessing it today in our generation. The greatest nation ever known is falling in, caving in to the ways and the whims of the world. He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warm them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Told you, nobody in hell wants anybody else to come down. Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." Now remember, this is Jesus telling this. You ready? He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." To prove his point, he knew that that wouldn't change them. He knew that that's not what it took. What does it take for me to find that eternal peace? Eternal peace is not lost, folks. We are. And the Lord says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Okay, does that sound very difficult? Do you realize that God has said, "If you'll call on the name of my son, you will be saved"? But how can they call if they have not heard? And how can they hear if someone doesn't teach them? So the Lord says, "I am here." And here's the stark reality of eternity. Once you've made your decision in this physical human body to your spiritual abode in the world to come, that decision will be final. You're not going to go one place and then move to the other. No. And the Lord has not been taking any tours around. But the Lord says, "I'll reveal myself to you, your heart, as an individual." And he said, "I'll reveal myself to you in love." So as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, I need to know that there is a great gulf that is fixed between right and between wrong. How many people have you known that say, "I stepped over the line and I got caught up into this world"? Well, you're living right now. Those who are listening worldwide, you're living right now in the day of grace. We have been blessed of all generations. We witness in our own heart, in our own being, the Spirit of Almighty God. His truth, His power, His love. And He says, "Let me tell you how much I love you." And then we get the hug. We go to Him in prayer and say, "Father, forgive me." And someone will say, "Well, no, you're going to have to pray harder than that." No, you're not. It's not in how hard you pray or how loud you pray or with the words you pray. It's in the sincerity of the prayer. Do we really want to have our life be a witness to others? Do we truly want to take the truth to the lost and dying world? I remember Billy Graham, one sermon that he preached, gosh, 100 years ago, I guess, now when I look back. And I remember him saying in a swear tone, because I never heard that in those days. You know, as a young man, you perk up. And he said, "Every damn one of you will go to hell if you don't know Jesus." And then he stopped. And he looked at the great audience and he said, "More of you are worried that I used damn than you are about the one sitting beside you going to hell." And that's really what's going on in our generation today. Oh, you got to talk like a Christian. I don't even know how a Christian talks. I know how I talk. And did not God call me? So therefore, I can only go by what God's called me to do. You also. Will I listen to the slang of the world and allow it to pull me down from the truth of God? No. Prim and proper. Well, there's a great gulf fixed, folks. God set it in place. And when God set that great gulf in place, he made sure that his son told us, "Do not call that which is good evil, and do not call that which is evil good." But that's exactly what we are doing in our own generation. We're seeing the reverse of the truth and the great lie of Satan had become the truth to the world, and sadly, too many that are in the church. The hurt, the pain is there. Do we not think that God so loves us that it doesn't hurt him to see what Satan's doing to us? See, Satan cannot mess with your new nature. You're born, he can't, he doesn't have any authority there. That's Jesus' territory. And the Lord gives us authority over the power, even. But if he can hurt the child of God, one of us, the offspring of Jesus, then that's what he wants to do, because he cannot do anything now. Okay, Larry, you're saved. But now, are you sure God called you to preach? And all of these thoughts go in your mind. Yeah. I know he called me to preach. And you know what? Heaven truly is a place where you'll meet a lot of people you thought you was getting away from when you left earth. And there might be, I don't know how that goes, people just as surprised to see you there as you are to see them. Think of it. You and I in this human condition, we can only accept so much. Why don't we start focusing on accepting the grace and the love of Christ? Why don't we just say, "Here am I, Lord, use me." I've read the book called the Bible. Do you realize that every prophet, every individual that ever made that comment, God used? Most of them were slaughtered. The majority despised, but all heaven glorified in the stand that they take. The time has come, for the judgment of God begins at the house of the Lord. Be careful. One day God's going to say it's over, and where the tree falls, there it shall lie. One day, when it's over, the great gulf, the great divide. God said, "I put it in place, but you don't have to worry." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love, for the peace that only you can give us. We ask now, dear Lord God, that as you touch our life, as you touch our heart, each of us will make the commitment you've called us to make, that we, Father, might truly stand strong in your word, in your truth, in your will, and Father, definitely in your wisdom. I ask you now, Father, as you touch our life, touch us in that special way, just like in the crevice of the stones. Thank you, Father, for that glory and for your Son. We ask that blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.